Lisa Mascolo is Chief Executive Officer at Optimos and joining us as part of our special report, The Private Side of Sequestration. Lisa, what is your company seeing directly with your federal customers as a result of sequestration so far? Thanks for being on today.
Sure, happy to be here. I guess what I'd say first is, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and while the theory of kind of mutually assured destruction might have ended the Cold War, it certainly, you know, failed to achieve detente on the Hill. From my perspective in the IT industry that serves the government, I'd say the effect has been fairly uneven and fairly lumpy, right? If you are one of the furloughed, obviously it's a big impact. If you're in a business that services the communities that serve government, you've probably been impacted. But I think in the IT industry, it's, you know, the predicted effects are fairly exaggerated. It's not nearly as draconian as we thought it was going to be back in March.
Is that because it's taking longer than we thought for the effect to trickle down to the contracting community, or is it just because the cuts relative to the amount of total spend are not quite as bad as we thought they were going to be?
I think it's definitely the latter. I think the cuts are not quite as bad as we thought they were going to be. We certainly see a dramatic slowing of the full and open RFP pipeline flow, if you will. And I suspect, you know, at this time of the year, when we look at what's going on with the GWACs and the MACs and even some BPAs, end-of-year frenzy is actually, I think, more frenzied this year than it's been in past years recently.
And is it accelerating? Are people trying to get the spend done now rather than waiting till the middle of August, beginning of September?
Absolutely. Yep. You see, no matter who I talk to, everybody's talking about the fact that, you know, the government's been hatching the egg for the first three quarters of this year, and now there is money to be spent. It seems to me to be a much more frenzied end-of-year season than we've seen.
What's the relationship like with the companies that you sub for, or the companies that sub to you, or even kind of the company-to-company horizontal? Is that dynamic changing at all because of sequestration?
I think what's changed is the understanding that it's going to be a really tough year for top line growth. And so the focus needs to be on maintaining your bottom line plan. And what I think we're seeing is some innovation that maybe we wouldn't have seen and some focus on cost and pricing. So it does make the pencils a lot sharper. And it causes us as a prime and us as a sub, you know, to continue to sharpen our pencils. Yeah, I think that's definitely an impact that we're seeing. People understand that the top line is really under siege, and therefore you got to protect the bottom line. And I think there's also innovation that we're seeing driving some cost and pricing benefit to the government and to us, frankly.
How do you resist the temptation to just cut costs, because that's easy to do, and how do you turn your eyes more toward the innovation piece of it to try to drive bottom line, to drive margins better?
Well, so if you think about what we advise the government to do, right, and the government is certainly focused on the cloud, in our company, we've driven virtually all of our internal systems to the cloud. We only buy what we need, buy the drink when we need it. We don't host our own accounting systems. We buy our accounting system transactions in the cloud, just like we encourage the government to do. So that enables us to not only cut our costs, but, you know, to be able to pass that on to the government when it's appropriate.
Lisa Mascolo is the Chief Executive Officer of Optimos, part of our special report, The Private Side of Sequestration. And sequestration is not just going to be a one-off. This doesn't end September 30th. At least it doesn't appear to right now. It looks like we'll have at least another year, and we're scheduled to have quite a few more. How do you try to plan strategy in an environment like this where you're just not exactly sure what your customers are going to be able to do?
You know, as I said before, I think that we all understand the top line's really under siege. I think this year, companies that achieve, you know, flat over last year or slight growth over last year are probably in pretty good shape. And the strategy has to be, you know, more of the same. It's ever more competitive. You got to have more stuff in the pipeline. And the guts of the strategy don't really change. Maybe we've got some more business development focus than we've had in the past. But it really is about building the relationship with the customers, understanding what they want, and giving them a crack solution, right?
The one strategy that a friend of mine mentioned the other day, he calls it the Under Armour strategy, which is to protect this house. Primarily focus on keeping the business that that you have. Not necessarily saying this person wasn't, that that's a wise way to go, but something that he's seeing a lot. Are you seeing that? And is that a way, do you think, to try to tread water, at least in this environment, Lisa?
I think it's tough to tread water in this environment. I get the desire for the hunker down strategy, but we all have contracts that end, you know, this year, next year, the year after. Just holding on to those things is, I don't think, is a way to survive and thrive. It might be a way to survive in the short term. I totally agree that we need to protect our own houses, and the competition is very fierce when it comes to re-competitions. But we still have to have a focus on figuring out where we can grow and how we take business away from the competition.
Are you seeing much of a horizontal spread among companies trying to go different directions? I see a vertical spread where companies are going after business that maybe 2 years ago or 5 years ago they wouldn't have even considered smaller deals than they would have gone after. But I'm still not hearing much about companies that are trying to go more horizontal and get into areas maybe not where they don't have any expertise. There might be a skill set fit, but just an area where they haven't really tried to go after much, or an agency where they haven't tried to work very much.
Well, and I think that's the difference between the large SIs and the small. The large have already, you could argue, a pretty horizontal spread. They might not have historically gone after some of the smaller deals in any of that horizontal continuum, if you will, and today they are. For the smaller companies, it's absolutely about trying to broaden that continuum. It is about, you know, what's your current technology skill set, what's your current business functional skill set, and how do you use that as a platform to expand? Absolutely.
How do you expect that your company will look differently, not structurally and not dollar-wise, you know, total revenue-wise, but just operationally, say, a year or 2 years from now because of sequestration, Lisa?
I'd like to think that we will be as lean as we can be. I mean, that's a thing that small companies are focused on anyway. So can we get a lot leaner than we are today? Yeah, I always think there's opportunities for innovation that's going to drive us to continue to be, you know, smaller and smarter and flatter as an organization. And my expectation is that we will have expanded, to your point about the horizontal, we will have expanded across that horizontal continuum, both from a technology skill set perspective and given business function. I think we need to expand.